Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 7, and the last time we were together, we read the first verse of chapter 7. And if you remember, this chapter tells us about the setting up and the anointing of the tabernacle and the offerings given by the leaders of Israel. So we're going to be doing some reading this evening. Now let's take a look together, please, at verses 2 and 3. That the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons, and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle.
Okay. Tune all that out, eh?
Right.
So once the tabernacle is complete, then these leaders, actually, tribal leaders, they bring their offering to Moses, and they brought 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought these wagons and oxen and presented them. Am I ahead of you if I go to the next one?
You go ahead.
Okay. And then the Lord told Moses to accept the wagons and the oxen, in other words, to accept the gift for the work of the tabernacle. And he was to give the wagons and the oxen to the Levites to assist them in their service. And so Moses did as the Lord told him to do, and he took the wagons and the oxen from the leaders and gave them to the Levites.
2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service.
So, 2 of the wagons and 4 of the oxen is given to the tribe the family that's carrying the curtains or the hangings of the tabernacle. If you think about this with the transport of this thing, and they're going to be doing this for 40 years because of their rebellion, but this would be way too much for people to try to just hand carry. And so they're carrying these on the wagons, okay? Go ahead with the next one.
May I just review a test question here?
Okay.
We want you to remember this, that the Gershonites were given 2 carts and 4 oxen to carry the curtains and coverings of the tabernacle. You're going to want to remember 2 and 4. And then in verse 8, and 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according unto their service under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest.
They gave 4 wagons and then 8 oxen to the Merarites to carry the framework of the tabernacle, which if you look at the measurements of the tabernacle, and you look at these huge boards, really, mm-hmm. 15 feet high, 27 inches wide, then you've got all this peripheral around the tabernacle that's enclosing the courtyard. All this is wood, the bases. You're talking a lot of weight. And then the framework for the tabernacle itself. So it would require more wagons for the Merarites than it would for the Gershonites, just because of the size and weight of what they were to be transporting.
So we're going to want you to remember, too, that the Merarites were given 4 carts and 8 oxen to carry the framework of the tabernacle. That's a test question. Now, verse 9. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders.
So the tabernacle structure and hangings are under the auspices of Ithamar, and Ithamar is the son of Aaron. He's a priest. And so he has the oversight of these families of the Gershonites and Merarites. And it's... You understand, and I think we said this earlier, they were assigned their duties. Mm-hmm. It's not to just go in, everybody doing his own thing. They're assigned their duties, so this thing is done in an orderly fashion. And you don't just take these hangings down, wad them up, and throw them on a wagon, you understand?
Yeah.
There's a lot of work and a lot of effort involved. And so they had their assignments, and Ithamar was the one who was to give the assignment.
And I got ahead of you, and I read verse 9, so about the Kohaths.
Okay, the descendants, did you read it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the descendants of Kohath were not given any wagons or any oxen, because the sacred items of the tabernacle was to be carried on men's shoulders. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me out of this, from this and the where the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant when Eli was the high priest, and how they moved that on a cart, and how when David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the tent which he had pitched in Jerusalem, because he wanted the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God, he wanted that in Jerusalem. And he tried the world method in bringing it in. And he put it on the new cart, which was supposed to be carried on men's shoulders. The cart, I'm talking about the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And it ended up costing Uzzah his life, mm-hmm. because he violated, okay? And out of this, the Lord spoke to me because of some things that were going on in the church world, especially in the church that I was had the oversight of at that particular time. And he said that the holy things of God are still to be carried on men's shoulders, not programs, not religious liturgies. They're just vehicles of men, you understand. And God says this is not what he wants. It's not a method of God. And so we have to follow the ways of God, not the methods of men. And what the Lord was showing me was the Spirit of God is not going to move through commentary. The Spirit of God is not going to move through some quarterly or through some program that man's initiated. You know, you go to the bookstore and you buy your lessons to teach. Or you go to the publishing company and you buy the materials or whatever. These are all methods of men. As a matter of fact, I had an email today, and I get them regular, for a can outline, if you will, for the Thanksgiving that's coming up. In other words, we have a message that you need. You understand? And what is, they're selling the material. They're exploiting the things of God. That's not the way to get the presence of God in. The way to get the presence of God in is you carry it. You have the presence of God on you. Well, how does the presence of God, how do I get the presence of God on me? First, get him in you. You understand? And then once the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of God can rise up on you. And what you're doing is you're carrying the presence of God. You're not depending upon this program, that program, and some method that someone else is using. We're not incorporating methods into our services. We want to bring God in there because we have God on us. You understand? And that's what the Lord was telling me, that what was going on was absolutely futile and he didn't care for it. It was a stench in his nostrils. It's disgusting to God. And all this stuff that people are doing in the names of God, and call it worship service when God's not worshiped at all. You understand? It has to be on men's shoulders. Listen, if the Spirit of God's not on the speaker that's delivering the message, you're just wasting time. You understand? You're just wasting time. All you're doing is just trying to soothe the conscience and went to church or whatever. The Lord told me back then, because I was preparing messages. You understand? That's all I knew to do. I was taught to do that. I had a course in that. How to prepare sermon outlines, okay? And the Lord dealt with me about that. And this is what He said to me. He said, I'd rather for you to prepare your heart than to prepare a message. He said, if you'll prepare your heart, you'll always have the message. Then my question is, well, how do I prepare my heart? Which is real simple. You constantly read and study and you communicate with the Lord. And as you do that on a daily basis, when it comes time for you to stand before the people, the Spirit of God will bring the message up on the inside of you that you deliver to the people. It's not your message. Now it's God's message. And people, I say this, but people don't understand this. I go back and listen to the messages so I'll know what I preached. Because the things come up. It's like the Spirit of God is bringing it up as you talk. This is coming, this is coming, this is coming. But that couldn't happen if you haven't spent time with the Lord. Listen, if you want to drink water out of the reservoir, you better fill the reservoir up. You can only pull out what's been put in. And so how do you prepare your heart? You prepare your heart daily, listening to the Word of God, studying, and then just talking to God. Talking to God, we say prayer, and I'm almost hesitant to use the word at times because it sounds so formal and so religious. Everybody bow their heads, close their eyes. Where in the Bible does it say to bow your head and close your eyes? Jesus lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, where did that come from? These things came out of men's minds. You follow me? And I've learned, you know, when I talked to my earthly father, I didn't close my eyes. I looked at him. I think we threw our brains away when it comes to religious things. And we're not trying to build no doctrine. I'm saying don't be bound. There's times my eyes are closed. There's times I may lay on the floor. There's times my head may be buried in the cushion of the seat or whatever. And there's times that I'll walk around with my eyes open so I don't stumble over something. And I'm talking to God while I'm walking around. I'll talk to God driving down the road. But I recommend keeping your eyes open. You understand? So this should become a way of life to us to where we're constantly prepared. Then the presence of God can be on us. So you walk in Walmart, you're carrying the presence of God on you. Or wherever. You don't know who you're going to meet. You'd be amazed. I've been in Walmart, one particular time was Christmas. I stood there for 30 minutes ministering to a lady that was just bearing her heart. She was so oppressed and just beat down. Well, do you say, come to church Sunday, maybe we can help you? No, we're to be ready any time, wherever. When someone asks you for an answer, you should be ready to give the answer. And you can't do that if you haven't filled the reservoir. I told Heather this week, we've been in the Old Testament for a long time, and then in my personal time, I've been in the Old Testament. And then I said I'm getting dull on the recall on New Testament scripture because I've spent so much time looking at this and this. And so, just like today, I said, I am going to read a New Testament book. I'm talking about out of the Bible. You understand? I want to get that, I want to keep that fresh on the inside of me. And so you stay sharp with that, to where that scripture talks to you. You understand? I'm not talking about memorizing the quote. I'm talking about getting that in you to where that word will talk to you. Mm-hmm. And so you keep your heart prepared. You keep it prepared. You don't know when you're going to be asked to speak.
No, you don't.
Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
We was actually putting some stuff in the storage building yesterday. And I was inside, and Heather was out there in the parking lot, and I walked out, and someone was standing there, and, you know, they were having some issues, and they needed somebody to take the service Wednesday night. And they said, would you speak for me? And then he said something interesting. He said, I came here because I didn't know anybody else that would want to do that on this short notice. Well, if your heart's prepared, then you're not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. And so what you do, of course, because you know the Lord is faithful. I pulled up in front of the church in another country with my good friend who was overseeing some things there. And while I get out of the van and walking with him into the church, he said, by the way, you got the service tonight. I said, well, thank you for the notice. But what do? If you put it in you, then you know the Spirit of God is going to bring it out of you. And so you live by faith. Not by, hey, wait a minute, let me get out here and write an outline or whatever. There was a time in my life that I would have pushed a panic button on that. What do you mean I'm speaking? You know, you've given me a few minutes notice. If your heart's prepared, your heart's prepared. We're to be ready when the opportunity's there, when the opportunity isn't there. That you carry that presence on you. You can't do it with some artificial thing that man's made. Do you understand? And I'm going to tell you, so many messages are so shallow because there's no inspiration of God. The message was inspired by the man, or the message was inspired by a circumstance, a situation. How many messages are inspired by holidays? Well, it's Easter, so we're going to present a message on the resurrection. Well, it's Christmas, so we're going to present a message on the birth of Jesus. Or it's Thanksgiving, so we're going to give some kind of Thanksgiving message. Well, is that what God wants? You understand? I can teach the birth of Jesus in July. It doesn't need to be a holiday. Or I can teach about something that has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas in December. You understand? And I'm not just saying I'm saying anybody can if you listen to the Lord, then you're not depending upon another inspiration. You're depending on the inspiration of God. You with me? And so with these Kohathites, you carry it on your shoulders. Don't use man's method to bring my presence in. Don't carry these holy things in carts and programs and all this stuff. You carry it. You carry it. When they're carrying the holy things are on their shoulders. You understand? That may not be as real to you as it is to me, but the Lord spoke that directly to me. Now, back then, at the beginning, I would have said you're out of your ever-loving mind if you walk in the pulpit without an outline. Because I always had an outline. And one Sunday morning, I would get by myself before I went on the platform. And as sincere as I could be, but that Sunday morning, I said, as I often said, I said, Lord, I just want you to do what you want to do this morning. And immediately, this is what I heard. I can't. And it shocked me. I said, what do you mean you can't? He said, you're too bound to your outline. I said, but Lord, you gave this to me. And he said, I did. And you want to teach it all in one setting, I may not want to get past point one. I said, so what are you saying? He said, I'm telling you to depend on me and not on your outline. Then the next probably 2 months, every service, when I walked on that platform, I did not know what I was going to do. And sometimes I wouldn't know until I stood up behind the podium of what I was going to do. What scripture I was going to do, I didn't know anything. The Lord was teaching me something. It's not you. You depending upon you, I want you to depend upon me. You put your trust and your confidence in me, not in yourself. Does that make sense to you? And I'm going to tell you, flesh will scream at that. Because it'll tell you out of your mind. And then you'll try to, these things coming at you, unprepared, 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 yet you're more prepared. I'll guarantee you that I was studying as much or more than I had ever studied. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I can tell you there's many times here that I don't know. As my friend said, I've heard him often say, people talk about they serve El Shaddai, or he said, mine's El Nikatam. I get it right at the last minute, you know what I mean? Well, then your dependence is in him. Otherwise, you're trying to carry God's presence in a way that God didn't ordain. And so it's not going to work. And so to me, there's something powerful here. You carry it on your shoulders. Your shoulders. Don't depend on anything else. You depend on God. Amen.
Amen.
We've talked about it. You understand? When she first started, I said, she concerned herself with this. I said, the teacher's in you. You're not the teacher. The teacher's in you. Your role is to let the teacher teach. And understand, it's not my ability. The Holy Spirit can speak through anybody who would yield to Him. Let Him teach. You understand?
And what's so interesting about that is when you do surrender yourself to let him teach, the weight of carrying it on your shoulders is like a feather. You can't even tell that you're carrying because he's just moving through you. And I thank the Lord for that, because I recognize, for me anyway, there's a growing process in this. And you move from the butterflies and the
dependency on a feeling.
Yes, to
faith.
Yes, you don't feel anything. You just, your regular old self. But
yeah, one's dependent upon the flesh to motivate you. If my heart's beating fast, yeah. If I feel what people call glory bumps, goosebumps, all these type things. And the Lord is so gracious and merciful that when you first use, the Lord will give you little promptings that
yeah.
will assist you in stepping out. But then as you mature, he starts taking your crutches away.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Believe me. You know, some of the most powerful services that I've ever had and been involved in, you wouldn't believe. If you could have been in here, you would have said that can't happen, because there was no failing. But God's not a God of flesh. He's a God of the Spirit. He's a God of integrity. And if you say what God says, God will confirm his word with signs following. You understand? It's not based on the feeling. It's based on obedience to him. And the only way you can obey him is to hear him. So you know what to obey. You with me? So, you know, I don't want to belabor this, but I can't overemphasize how important it is to depend on the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not on outside information. You don't need someone else telling you what you should preach. I've had people over the years come, you should be preaching on this. You should be preaching on that. I had a couple to leave the church because they told me that, actually what they said was, you need to be preaching more on love. Now, the problem was that the messengers were stepping on their toes. You understand? And I knew that they were going to nail my hide to the wall. I met with them on a Saturday morning. And I prayed because I knew it was not going to be good. And so I asked the Lord for wisdom. I said, I need wisdom to know how, what to say, when to say it, and when to keep my mouth shut. I'm just depending on you to guide me. And man, they came in there and they started telling me this and this and how bad I was and what I needed to be doing and all that. And if I didn't change it, they were going to leave the church. And I was amazed at what came out of my mouth, because the Lord just brought it up. And it was so simple and so gentle. I said, you know, I understand everybody's not compatible to my ministry. And so if you feel like that someone else is more compatible to you, then don't leave here mad. Go with my blessing. Let me pray with you. Let me bless you before you go. No one asked them to stay. You understand? Now, the amazing thing about that, they were having a problem with my teaching on healing. But they left the church and became members of another church. But if they got sick, they would call me and ask me to pray for them. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. They didn't want to change, But yet they recognized the truth. This morning, as I was praying, the Spirit said this to me, and I will try to recall the best I can. People tenaciously hold on to a belief, refusing to accept truth. They've been taught a particular doctrine, and they will, you can open the Bible and read them the Word of God, and they won't believe it. I had a minister to tell me one time, I did that. I opened the Bible and read him the scripture to answer his question. He said, I know the Bible says that, but I've been taught this all my life and I can't change. I said, you don't have a choice but to change, or otherwise you're rebelling. But people will tenaciously hold on to things. Truth scares people because it confronts you. And truth is always truth. Well, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still truth. They didn't believe Jesus. But let me ask you how it worked out for them. And then how did it work out for him? You stay with truth. You stay with truth. And you've got to get in it to know it. And when you get in it, then it gets into you. And when it gets into you, it can come out of you, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. Now, I tell people, you hang around them long, you'll know what they're full of. Because they're going to be saying, you'll know. I mean, it's one thing for me to say, I love God and this, and then turn right around and get mad at God because of such and such a situation. We're carrying the presence of God, or we should be, on our shoulders. On our shoulders. I'm not dependent upon someone else to carry the presence of God to me. Bring the presence of God. Do you know, probably the majority of Christians are dependent upon someone else to carry the presence of God to them. You carry the presence of God. You let him get in you and get on you. You know, Heather just mentioned, when she said it, I was thinking about, talking about the weight of things. I was thinking about the Old Testament prophets. They used to say, the burden of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, there's messages that God's given me that's weighed heavy on me. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, you stop saying the burden of the Lord. You stop saying the burden of the Lord. Actually, if you know the truth, it'll liberate you. What does that do? It will do away with the burden. Yeah. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so now God's word to me is not a burden to carry. It's a privilege to be able to be chosen to speak for him. Because it's mind-boggling. Why would he choose me? You understand? And so, I don't know, I think it just, you develop into such an awesome respect of God and the fear of God that you don't want to misrepresent him. You want to carry his presence. And to do that, you pray in the Spirit a lot, I'll tell you that. Because you have to keep things under subjection.
And you won't know that God is trustworthy and faithful unless you give him an opportunity to be trustworthy and faithful.
If you're observant at all, I mean, if the Spirit of God is in you, and you're observant at all, you will know when you sit in a service if that is inspired by God or not. I've been in churches and it's like walking in a morgue. It is so dead. No spirit in the place. And the person standing there talking, they don't even know what they're talking about. You understand? They haven't had the experience. Are you going to teach me something you've never experienced? Can you teach me something you haven't experienced? You can tell me what somebody else has said about it.
Right.
But until you experience it, you're not going to be convincing to me. You understand? It's the experience we do with God that's what's convinced me. Amen? Well, we really got out there in some areas, but I want to get this point across that God's presence is on people, not programs, situations, circumstances, and all that. God brings His presence in on people. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to have to stop here and take a break, and then we'll come back somewhere.